Praise God. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Joshua. Between Deuteronomy and Judges. What is it, the sixth book of the Bible? Number six, right? Sixth book of the Bible.
Joshua what?
Number nine, chapter nine. Just for now, I'm just going to read two verses. Verses 15 and 16. Talking about the Gibeonites, also called the Hivites.
Yes.
Verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them, the Hivites, and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and that they dwelt among them. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Father, we pray, as always, for enlightenment, Lord, that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we might understand your word more clearly, Lord, that we would not only hear it, but obey it and be doers and not hearers only of your word. Father, that it would change us, Lord, as we adhere to it and conform to it, Lord. And Father, that you would speak to us this morning as individuals as well as a body, Lord God. Father, you have chosen each one of us individually, and your sheep, each one individually, hear your voice. That's what Jesus said. Speak to us, give us ears to hear this morning, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Praise God. You know, the Deuteronomy is kind of a summary of the first four books of the Bible. And it's Moses' preparation for the children of Israel as they're about to enter the promised land. This would be the second generation of Israelites, because the first, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, all died in the desert because of unbelief. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Joshua, the Hebrew word is Jesus, and it means salvation. If you look in Hebrews where it talks about, I think it's the third chapter, where if Jesus had given them rest, they would not have needed another. And it's actually speaking of Joshua there, but Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua. I wish I had had somebody to explain things to me when I was younger in the Lord. I used to read through the New Testament and I'd say, who is Isaiah or Isaiah or who is Osi? Who are these people? And then I realized they're just the Greek forms of the Hebrew names in the Old Testament. But I didn't have anybody to tell me, so I had to learn on my own. But it's just as well, because God taught me an awful lot. Joshua, a very fascinating character in the Bible. He started off as a slave. Moses was his mentor. He spent those years in Egypt as a slave under the harsh treatment of Pharaoh until God finally came and said, set my people free. And Moses led them out, and Joshua was kind of his right-hand man. He became a soldier and eventually commander of the Israelite army when he was in his 80s. If you think God can't still use you because you're old, he can use you right up until the day he either calls you home or the rapture occurs. Moses was 80 when he got called to lead the Israelites, and then he spent 40 years with them in the desert and went home to be with the Lord at age 120. Where Moses, who represented the law, was able to bring the people right up into the promised land, it took Joshua, whose name again means salvation, to lead them in. There's a whole lesson there that we're not going to get into right now. Joshua had accompanied Moses if you recall, when Moses was called by God to the holy mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, he brought tablets up, and actually, this is amazing to think of, that he actually watched as God wrote those commandments or engraved them into these stone tablets. And I've always admired Joshua, because it says that Joshua only went partway up the mountain. Moses was on top. All kinds of things were happening, lightnings and clouds and all manner of manifestations up there, and the glory of God appearing and everything else. Poor Joshua was halfway down the mountain. He didn't get to participate in any of that. And meanwhile, down below, at the foot of the mountain, Aaron was leading the people in the worship of the golden calf. And he must have heard the noise down below. He saw what was happening up on the mountain. And he just had to hang there for 40 days and 40 nights. Imagine the faithfulness that it took for him to just stay there and wait. Without anything to amuse him. I mean, there were no magazine racks or anything. You know, he couldn't, had nothing to read. And just to wait there upon Moses until he had received the Ten Commandments. He waited faithfully, kept vigil. You can read about that in Exodus 24, verses 13 to 18. I won't read them. While Moses experienced God's glory at the summit, God used him powerfully in taking the promised land, in defeating all the Canaanites, who went by different names, Perizzites, Hivites, Girgashites, all these ites that he was called to defeat. And God even made the sun stand still on his behalf so that he could vanquish his enemies totally, so that he could have daylight in order to win victory over the Canaanites. Of course, he's the one who gave us what we just sang there, those famous words, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Do you know how many plaques and banners and doodads, Christian doodads, that scripture is written on? We used to sell all kinds of things here when it was a Christian bookstore. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Praise be to God. That should be our declaration in all things. Amen? Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. There's an old song. Remember that song? They used to actually play songs like that on the radio when I was growing up, on the, you know, the hit parade and everything. Yeah, songs like that, and "On the Wings of a Snow White Dove, He Sent His Pure Sweet Love." You know, they actually sang songs like that. Not anymore. God caused the sun to stand still. He gave Joshua victory over so many of the enemies, and it says these different things about the characteristics of Joshua that we should all try to emulate. It says that he was of a different spirit, like his partner Caleb, that he followed the Lord fully, and that he obeyed him in all things. That in the New Testament, that's what we're called to do, isn't it? To offer our bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, in our totality, everything that we are, everything that we have, is to be turned over to God and allow Him to control it and use it according to His plans and purposes. It says in Deuteronomy 34:9 that he was filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom. Moses laid his hands on him, and the wisdom that God had given to Moses was transferred to Joshua. A lot of people today think that they can transfer anointings and offices and gifts and everything else to other people. God may use somebody in that way occasionally, but much of what I've seen in that area is phony. People are deceived in so many ways. It also says of him in Joshua 1:5 that he enjoyed the presence of God. God promised that he would go with him and to fear not because he would vanquish all of his enemies. He gives us the same promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what Jesus' promise to us is. At times we may not sense him, we may not feel his presence, but he's there. Amen? He's always there. And anything he allows into our lives is for a purpose. And we need to find out what that purpose is. We need to learn that lesson so that we can move on and move upward. He always wants us to be moving upward in the things of the Spirit. To forget what's behind. We blew it back there, forget it. He says, leave it behind. And point your face toward what's ahead. And keep pushing forward, keep pushing forward. Don't let anybody remind you of your past.
Amen.
Because it will just drag you down. And there are people who want to drag other people down. There are people who want to make people feel guilty about things they've done or places they've been in their lives. And none of us approaches anywhere near the glory of God. We all fall short and have fallen short.
Amen.
And God, thank God, is willing to forgive us. And his mercy does endure forever. Praise be to God. Confession sins, and he will not only forgive them, but cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. Praise be to God. And move on. And if you blow it 5 seconds later, you say, Lord, I confess that, I repent, move on. I receive your forgiveness, cleanse me afresh, move on. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. It says in Joshua 1:8 that he was full of the Word of God. Extremely important. We need to be filled with the Word of God. If you can't memorize, you have a problem memorizing. I had a guy in the Methodist church, some of you remember him, he went home to be with the Lord. Had trouble because after World War II, he was a bomber and he in a plane, and he just was so guilt-ridden over the people that he had dropped bombs on and killed that he fell into a tremendous depression. And in those days, it happened to be the times when electroshock therapy was just coming into vogue. And he had several treatments, and it just knocked his... He couldn't remember. So he had to carry a book around with him with scriptures. But if you have to do that, that's fine. You know, you have to take a book out and read it. Just keep that word in front of you. Hide it in your heart any way that you can, because the word is so important. It will come up. You know, it's like a computer. You have to feed, program it, good things in there before you can access anything. And we need to be filled with the word as Joshua was. It says in Numbers 32:12 that he was always obedient to God. He carried out God's commandments fully. There are times we don't want to be obedient. I've given some examples in my own Christian life with things I didn't want to do, but God said, I want you to do it. And I did it, and God blessed me, and he got me over a lot of hurdles, you know, of being shy and things like that, and not wanting to stand in front of people. And here I am, once a week at least, standing in front of people and speaking. He gave us those famous words, and he's also recorded among the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, and then it goes on to talk about all the heroes of the faith, and Joshua is in there. By faith, Joshua did such and such. Praise be to God. So he was a solid, spirit-filled man of God. But he wasn't perfect, was he? You know, that's one of the great things about the Bible. God gives us the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all in there. And every single one of the people, David was a man after God's own heart. David blew it. Abraham blew it. Noah blew it. Every single hero of the faith blew it in one capacity or another. But they continued on. They put it behind them and they pressed towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, or as much as Christ as they could see by the light that they had in the old covenant. And where we blow it is often in the area of discernment. And that's where Joshua blew it in this chapter. I just want to quote a couple scriptures here. Hebrews 5:14 that talk of discernment. Hebrews 5:14, but strong meat. It's talking, Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews is talking about the milk of the Word. It's for young people in the Lord. But when you get older in the things of the Lord, and it doesn't necessarily mean chronological age, but you become more mature in handling the Word of God and understanding the doctrines of the faith and that sort of thing. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God has given us discernment. We have to exercise it. We have to use it. Ecclesiastes 8:5. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment, meaning both when and what to do. God will tell us what to do. He'll show us what to do. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. 1 Chronicles 12:32, it's talking about the different tribes of Israel, and it says of the children of Issachar, they were men that had understanding of the times and knew what Israel ought to do. That's what God is looking for today, isn't he? Christians who have an understanding of the times. You know, I do spend a lot of time in current events. Part of it is my background in the newspaper business, but part of it, too, is because I want to know what's going on. And it's fascinating to watch prophecies coming to pass and the things that were spoken by the Old Covenant prophets and Jesus and Paul and Peter and so many others are happening right before our very eyes. And we need to know, to understand the times. Jesus rebuked the people of religious leaders of his day because they could understand and discern the weather, but they couldn't understand or discern the signs of the times, what was happening right in front of them. Now, after defeating Jericho and eventually Ai, that's a whole nother story, isn't it, where they went to take that city and there was a sinner among them, there was we don't even want to get into that. It's a long story. But after those victories, Joshua let his guard down. And that's the same thing that you and I can do. After we've had a victory in the spirit, we can become a little complacent. And the enemy never sleeps. He never stops. He says, okay, you got me there. Now I'm going to come at you from another direction and see if I can pull you down this way. He's always coming at us. You know, Peter described him as like a devouring lion, seeking whom he could just get his teeth into. And once he gets in, he doesn't want to let go. Thank God we have the name of Jesus, where we can rebuke him and force him to flee, resist the devil, and he will flee. Praise be to God. Now, what happened here was, according to Deuteronomy 20, if you read that chapter, it talks about, again, Moses telling them when they come into the promised land that they would be permitted to enter into treaties or league, make league with cities that were beyond Canaan, beyond the promised land. But the cities of Canaan itself, God wanted destroyed, along with everything that breathed, people and animals. And we may think that's cruel. Who's going to judge God? Who can judge God? I mean, he had his plans and his purposes. They had 400 years to repent, and they didn't. And they knew what was coming. If you read in Joshua 9, verse 24, you can see they knew what was coming. That's why they made this deception and put it together to fool Joshua. And what happened is that these Gibeonites made themselves dirty. They threw dust on themselves. They took moldy bread and all these different things to make it look like they had traveled from a far distance, you know, outside that area where God had told the people, you can enter into league with those people who are beyond, but if they're from Canaan, you have nothing to do with them. They were from Canaan. They were from right down the road. But they fooled Joshua into believing that they had come a long distance and can we enter into a covenant with you where, you know, we'll join you and you protect us. And without seeking the Lord, Joshua said, okay. If you look where we were in 9, 15, and 16, look at verse 14. What comes before that? And the men took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. That's where he blew it, isn't it? Joshua didn't seek the Lord. He went by what his eyes told him. His eyes told him, these men are from a far distance. You know, we'll enter into league with them. We'll agree to protect them and they'll be on our side. And this looks like a good idea. There are a lot of things that look like a good idea to us, you know, in the natural. But that could lead to great harm if we pursued them. And the only way we know what to pursue and what not to pursue is by seeking the Lord. Amen. Seeking counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Lord, what should I do? David asked repeatedly, Lord, should I pursue them? Yes, pursue them and defeat them. You see examples all through the Bible where people asked the Lord and received blessing. They didn't, and they wound up doing it their own way and got into trouble. Yeah. Each one of us who has any kind of past at all did things our own way, and we got into trouble, didn't we? A lot of it had to do with not even knowing the Lord. But once we come to know the Lord, he says, seek me out. I know everything. I know the end from the beginning. I know exactly how this whole thing is going to turn out. Ask me, and I'll tell you whether you should go in this direction or that direction. Joshua didn't, and he entered into league, and they became a stumbling block, and plus he was disobedient to God, because he entered into a league with people that he wasn't supposed to. Now, to his credit, he made them all essentially slaves. They had to provide, cut and chop all the wood for the Israelites' fire, and they had to, you know, do these menial chores, which is what we should do in the spirit. Amen? There are people that we have to enter into league with, you know, co-workers, family members who are unsaved, different people. But we shouldn't allow their influence to affect us or to take us away from the things of God. You know, I was talking about, you know, I talk about this, these Muslims and, you know, same-sex marriage, all these different things at work. And sometimes people agree with me and sometimes they don't. But when they don't, you know, they come across, I mean, just like these people did. You know, if you read that, verse 24, they knew that the Israelites were not supposed to make a covenant with people in the land of Canaan. They knew a little bit, just enough to become a stumbling block, and people out there, unbelievers, know just enough of scripture or whatever to try to trip Christians up. You know? Like that business of, but you're a Christian, you're supposed to love your enemies. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It does say love your enemies. But I don't have to love their sin, and I don't have to love their evil, and I don't have to love what they do, and I don't have to love any of that stuff. I have to love the person, and my way of showing them love is to share the gospel with them and tell them the way out of whatever they're into. But people will do that, won't they? They know just enough to try to trip you up. Oh, you call yourself a Christian. How come I saw you doing such and such? Or how come, you know, I heard this come out of your mouth? that corrupt communication that Craig was reading there. That's not supposed to come out of our mouth, but only that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. How many times have something come out of our mouth that didn't minister grace to the hearer, but was corrupt communication? And people will call you on it all the time. They expect us to be perfect. So does God. You know, that's what Peter said, right? Be perfect as God is perfect. Of course, we can't without the complete surrender to the Lord and allowing Him to guide us every single step of the way. And if you have learned to do that 100%, you should be up here. Because I haven't. I still blow it. But thank God we have one who forgives. He let his eyes do the talking. And it can be a hard lesson when, through lack of discernment, we let ourselves fall for something that is not of the Lord. You know, I think of that poor man of God in 1 Kings chapter 13. I'm not going to go there. It's a long story. But essentially, God sent him from Judah up to Bethel. He was a prophet. He said, I want you to go and rebuke Jeroboam, the king of the northern kingdom, Israel. Because Jeroboam had separated from Rehoboam, and he had started his own kingdom in the north of Israel. And since he didn't have access to Jerusalem, he built altars in Bethel and Dan. And he set up golden calves there, and they were, you know, into idolatry and false worship. So God sent this man of God, who's not named, go up there and rebuke him. So he did. And he also told him, when you go, when you return, go a different route. Don't stop. Don't eat bread with anybody up there. Don't have any fellowship. Don't do anything. So the man said, okay. And he rebuked Jeroboam. Jeroboam didn't believe him at first, so he had to turn one of his arms to, I guess it was paralyzed, and then returned it again, and he finally believed him. And then the king said, we'll stay here, you know, we'll have a meal together, whatever. The guy says, no, God told me, no way. So he's on his way back to Judah, and what happens? He runs into this apostate, washed-up old prophet, who goes out to meet him. He probably wanted some, you know, to be able to talk about spiritual things with somebody. And he tells him, guess what? An angel appeared to me, and he told me that you're supposed to have fellowship with me. And the guy says, oh, okay, an angel. Well, that's different. God had told him, you don't break bread with anybody. And this guy tells him, but an angel came to me and told me that you're supposed to break bread with me. He says, okay. And what happened to the guy? On his way leaving there, he got eaten by a lion. He didn't have discernment. He didn't have enough discernment to know that if God told him not to do something, that somebody else comes along and tells him to do it, it's not of the Lord. We see that all around us, don't we? We see people being taken in by alleged signs and wonders. Oh, an angel appeared to me and told me thus and thus. Oh, you know, God put gold fillings in my teeth, and if you come to this place and under this anointing, He'll do incredible miracles for you too. Not knowing the Word of God and discerning what is of the Lord and what is not of the Lord. It can be dangerous. It can be hazardous to our health. As Joshua learned and as that man of God learned, the enemy is always out there. It's interesting he got eaten by a lion, because the devil, like a roaring lion, is ever seeking whom he may devour. If we have any doubt about something, you know, you have doubt about Halloween, take it to the Lord. See what He has to say about it. And then whatever He tells you, be sure to do it. Now, how do we get discernment so that we aren't entering into something that we have no business touching? You know, there is a gift. One of the gifts of the Spirit is discerning of spirits. But God has given us all a degree of discernment so that we can distinguish between right and wrong, between light and darkness, between truth and error. And if we have any doubts, take it to the Lord. You know, I think one of the biggest problems we as Christians have is that we're too impatient. We live in a world where everything is instantaneous. And we say, well, I did take it to the Lord, but I didn't get an answer. Well, how long did you wait? Well, 15 seconds, you know, 15 minutes. You know, sometimes we have to wait a while in order to get ourselves in that place where we can be still and know that He is God and hear His voice. Doesn't mean He can't speak in the din of whatever is going on around us, but sometimes the answer may not come just like that. And we have to wait on the Lord. And that too is of the Lord because He's testing us. Will you wait and get the mind of Christ about this, or are you going to go off in your own direction and do it yourself? So we all have that capacity, but there are some ways in which we can increase our discernment. And one of them is what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. You know, if you go to school for anything, you have to study, or you're not going to succeed. You're not going to do well. Unless you have a photographic memory, or a, what do they call it? Dyadic memory, where you can just see a scene and just remember details and hear something. I used to have a fantastic memory, but it's shot. The older I get, the worse it gets.
It gets worse. Yeah.
I used to think I could be on Jeopardy and win a lot of money, you know, but not anymore.
I'll give it a shot.
Lucky if I can remember somebody's name. But study. You know, I've used this illustration before. I'm going to use it again. The Secret Service agents. They're mainly treasury agents. They deal in money. There's this branch of them that are assigned the detail of being, you know, guarding the president and vice president, etc. But most of them are involved with, you know, stopping money laundering and counterfeiting and that sort of thing. And they study the genuine for years. Not the counterfeit. They study the genuine. So that when a counterfeit comes along, they spot it immediately. That's what we are to do. Study the Word of God. So when a counterfeit word comes along, we know it immediately. That doesn't fit. There's something wrong there. You know, the devil comes as an angel of light, doesn't he? And he can be very persuasive. You see some of these televangelists on TV. They can be very persuasive. You know, you don't even realize that they're reaching their hand into your pocket and taking your money until, you know, you've already sent the check off or whatever. A lot of them are governed. A lot of them are angels of light. And they are deceiving multitudes of people. There are organizations out there, the New Apostolic Reformation, for instance, you know, going about anointing all these hundreds of people as apostles. They're not apostles. You know, in order to be an apostle, according to the scripture, you had to see Jesus. You had to see Jesus. And you had to walk with Him. You had to have divine revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people don't have that. Now, there are missionaries, you know, there are sent ones, there are commissioned people. You know, we are all commissioned by the Great Commission to go out and preach the gospel, but there aren't any modern-day apostles. Paul was the last one. And these people are claiming that they have the authority and the powers of Paul and Peter and John and the rest of them. And they don't. That should be the warning sign right there. Well, I'm not going to have anything to do with these people. You know, I can name them for you. The top one is C. Peter Wagner. He started this whole mess. There are a whole bunch of them. There's Chuck Pierce, there's Dutch Sheets, there's Cindy Jacobs, there's all these people who are out there making false prophecies. If you call up, there's a website called the Elijah something or other. But it has all these prophecies that these people have made. And you could go down one after another. None of them have come to pass. And they, you know, will tell you that, well, we're in the process. Many people are in the process of learning to become prophets. No, it doesn't work that way. If it doesn't come to pass, you're not a prophet. It's that simple. One thing. You say it, doesn't come to pass, you're not a prophet. You better not go around saying you are. Learned my lesson in that area. But study. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. We can know this is true, this is false. This is of God, this is not of God. And God will almost always use his word as the lightning rod. That's why we have to get it in us, like Joshua did, one way or another. And that leads me to the second scripture, Joshua 1:8, where the Lord told Joshua, "Let not this word depart out of your mouth," this word of the law, "but you should meditate on it day and night until you learn to observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." He was about to go face these armies of pagans that inhabited the land of Canaan. And what did God tell him? He didn't send him to boot camp. He didn't send him to West Point. He said, "Fill yourself with the word. That's what's going to give you the victory. Praise be to God." And then we have to learn to seek the Lord's guidance in all things, large or small. Peter didn't launch out into the deep until Jesus told him to do it. And there he caught that miraculous draught of fishes. David didn't pursue his enemies unless God told him to. He learned his lessons the hard way by making mistakes. And we will learn that way. But it says in that first scripture I quoted that we learn by exercising that capacity to discern. That word, that Greek word for exercise, is the word that we get our word gymnasium from. And if you've ever seen a gymnast train, I mean, they do it from morning to night, from time they're little kids, you know, just going. Their one goal is that gold medal at the Olympics. And they train and train and train. And as we train, you know, you can do it like the Lord led me to, you know, where I'd read something. After I started getting grounded in the Word, after a while in the Lord, you know, I was getting all these newsletters from all these ministries and everything else. And you learn by reading this and say, wait a minute now, I just read in the Word such and such, and this is telling me such and such. And you go and you double check it. That's not of the Lord. That's how you learn. That's how you exercise discernment. Until finally you get to the point, like those Secret Service agents, where the counterfeit comes along and a red flag goes up in your spirit. Wait a minute, that's not of the Lord. There's something wrong here. You know, where you just sense it in your spirit. But it comes from studying and exercising our discernment. Amen?
Amen?
There is so much literature out there, so much of it claiming to be Christian. You know, I go through Christian websites all the time. Say, okay, I can write that one off, I can write that one off. You just go through and see the stuff that they're writing, and you can tell what's of the Lord and what's not. There are a few good ones out there that I check regularly, like deceptioninthechurch.com is a good one, good solid one. Lighthouse Trails, that's another good one. TheOmegaLetter.com, that's another good one. There are some out there, but others, you just know right away. That's not of God. These people are spreading false information. And there are any number of gullible people out there, gullible Christians, who who have not gotten grounded in the Word, who will be deceived by these people. Now, I'll close with this. I mentioned earlier that Joshua won the Battle of Jericho. Remember how he won that? God told him, take your people, and I want you to circle Jericho once for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, circle it seven times, and then shout and blow the trumpets, and you'll get the victory. Sounds like a strange way to win a war, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that was God's promise, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Joshua believed his promise, and he got all those people out there doing that, and they circled it and circled it and circled it. And that's what God, I believe, is telling us to do with regards to all the deception that's out there. Circle it, encompass it by my word and by my promises, and see if it stands. See if it holds up. See if it has that root of truth in it. If not, it's going to come tumbling down, and you don't want to be there when it does. You don't want any part of it. You know, you may help pick up the pieces afterwards. In that case, they would destroy everybody. But there are ministries that are tumbling. They're just being destroyed because God has said enough. And they're going to have survivors coming out of there, you know, kind of groggy. What happened to me? You know, I believed this guy, I believed this ministry or whatever, and now it's gone. You know, look at the Crystal Cathedral, you know, the Schuller's ministry. Kaput. Catholic Church bought the Crystal Cathedral now. And that was, that Hour of Power was the most watched allegedly Christian show, watched for years and years. And now it's no more. And there's a reason for it, because it wasn't preaching the truth. Not by a long shot. If you ever listen to some of the garbage he taught and the people that he brought in there to fill that pulpit, you would just know immediately. That's not of God. It can't last. And it didn't. And a lot of them are tumbling. A lot of them are tumbling to the ground, and there are going to be people running out of those things looking for the truth. A lot of them are going to be disillusioned. You know, well, you know, I listened to somebody before claim to be a Christian, and look at where it got me. It's going to be a tough ministry, ministering to people who have come out of false ministries and are looking for the truth, and they're going to be very leery about committing to anybody again. And that's going to take real discernment and real leading of the Lord to minister to those types of people. God has set His word, a trumpet, to our mouths. And we're to blow it. And we're to go around and around things with the truth until finally that which can't be shaken will remain, and that which can will come tumbling down, just like the walls of Jericho, and lead us to victory. I'm going to close with this. I know we're running a little bit late, but this psalm just came to me so strongly. Psalm 20. It's a short one. I just want to read it as we close. It's a psalm of David. It says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion." Remember last week I was talking about having, or was it the week before, our swords bathed in heaven and our shields anointed. This is sending help right from the sanctuary. That's the sanctuary of God in the heavens. "Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners, only in the name of the true God, Jehovah, Jesus. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, his commissioned ones." And every one of us is commissioned for a purpose. And our main purpose is to bring people into the kingdom of God by preaching the truth. "He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Amen. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the discernment that you've given us, Lord. The first thing that Jesus warned us about in the latter days would be, take heed that you be not deceived. Lord, we take that to heart. And Father, by your word, by your spirit, by our seeking counsel at your mouth, Lord, as Joshua failed to do in that circumstance, by doing it, Lord, we can trust that we will not be deceived. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Close with a song. The altar will be open for prayer.